3 o'clock, Raul. So, Momo, busy show today. A ton of stuff going on. And the big surprise, you know, watch me dance around this. The big surprise of the day is that Rick Carlisle exited as head coach of the Dallas Mavericks.
I think it's surprising just because
it's
such
an... Isn't that the big news of the day?
Yeah, it got me with a wow, but it was also, like, there's been some friction there for a while. And then there was also Donnie Nelson was fired the other day. Luka Doncic just had a press conference where he's like, oh, I don't make the decisions there.
Yeah, so he's out. Now, already speculation that he could be in Boston.
Well, he's a Celtics player. I wouldn't call him a legend, right? He was good, but he
was good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he make a lot of sense?
Make a lot of sense. But, you know, I'm really curious to see what Brad Stevens does in this job now. Because he's a coach. He's going to be making this hire. We have no idea what Brad Stevens believes in as a front office executive.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about the big game last night, Philly and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of that game, Philly with a monumental collapse.
Yeah.
They blew a 26-point lead.
It was hard to watch. Hard to watch.
It was. You could see on their faces when they were broken. They just could not believe what had happened to them.
Yeah.
They had that game. And, in fact, their social media at one point, Lindsay, what did you say their social media sent out at halftime? They had a 22-point lead or a 20-point lead?
Yeah, they posted out a picture with a graphic that had the score, and it said something like, oh, so this is what we do when we're tired, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the social media team was a little chippy.
I think it was
too.
Also because Clint Capella had a quote.
It said, is this when we're supposed to feel tired, with an emoji of someone yawning?
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
And then they blow the lead. God.
Yeah, well, I think there was a quote from Clint Capella where he said something like, Embiid wears down in games, so I try to get him tired, and then I can... So it was like, Embiid had a great first half, so it was kind of like referencing that quote.
Yeah. So...
I get it, but didn't age well. That's like
that's a game that Philly... would love to have back.
Oh,
and that we were talking about this morning on our call, me and Lindsay. What's the one game in your life for a team that you love that you'd like to have back?
Game 7, Dodgers.
Game 7, Dodgers.
You Darvish.
See, I would want Game 5 back.
I know which one you're going to say. Yeah, I know.
Game 5 is the game where,
or whatever it was.
At Houston, it was 13-12. Clayton Kershaw blew a 5-run lead, then a 4-run lead. They were cheating their asses off. And, you know, if the Dodgers had won that game, they would have been up 3-2. And they would have won the series because Kenley Jansen closed the save in Game 6. So, for me, if we had gotten Game 5, we would have been the 2017 World Series champions.
What was the one where Kenley gave up the home run? Was it Game 2?
Game 2.
That was a bad one, too.
Yeah.
Are you guys only referencing recent games because of, like, recency bias? Like, there's nothing in your whole life that you would want to get back more than those?
Well, the Raiders, the Tuck Rule game.
Yeah, what year was that? You want to go back to, what, 91?
No, 96, 97. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Something in those 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is recency bias. Because,
I'll never get over the Tuck Rule.
Yeah, I know. No,
that's a Super
big
Bowl
one
right there. It also,
that's a big
it changed
one
the course of Brady and the Patriots' career, too.
Yes, it did. It did. The other one for me, and again, this is just recency bias. Rams losing the Super Bowl. I was there. It's always worse when you're there.
Yeah.
When you see it with your own eyes.
Like 2002.
I was at Game 5 of the World Series. I was at the Super Bowl when the Rams lost. Which one are you saying? 2002 was
the Tuck
Rule?
That was
the Tuck
Rule. Yeah, 2002.
Yeah. Lindsay, what about you? You're in your sports fandom, what's the one you would like back?
Mine would be Game 7 of the 1997 World Series, when the Indians were 2 outs away from winning the World Series, and Jose Mesa blew the save. The clubhouse was covered in the plastic tarps,
right?
And they had rolled in. The commissioner walked in with the trophy, and the owner of the team was standing in there. And then I remember, my dad said, "Oh my God!" We watched it from home. Obviously, I was younger. Mm-hmm. And my dad was so upset. He is so crazily overly emotional about the games. He disappeared on foot for 3 days in the pouring rain.
What?
Yes.
He disappeared?
I understand this.
And
when, Wait a minute. I don't understand this. Wait a minute. Okay.
It was two days.
So the Cavs lose this game.
No, or
the Indians lose this game. And your dad, in the middle of a rainstorm, walks out and disappears for 2 days.
Yes. Apparently, he did call my mom from a payphone at some point and say he just needed to walk around, blow off some steam. He told me he walked around in the metro parks. He said he didn't sleep at all. He said he sat there on a park bench for a while and just stared. And he said that it was, we laugh about it now, but at the time, obviously I was worried. And also I didn't really get it cause I was only like 10, you know, but now it's funny. Cause like, I know how crazy emotional my dad gets.
Oh yeah. Crazy emotional. I just disappear after a loss. Mm-hmm. Yep. What's the biggest game that you'd like to have back? 877-710-ESPN. Biggest game you'd like to have back? I would like to have the Rose Bowl back where Texas beat USC.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been a perfect night. Vince Young just screwed it up for us. Vince Young just had a remarkable game. I mean, he stole it from us. But that's a game I would love to have back. Love to have back. Because it was a perfect night. It really was. It was a beautiful night at the Rose Bowl. Ireland and I were sitting together for that game, one of the few times we've actually sat together when neither of us was working and we just watched a ball game together. Had USC won, it would have been an absolutely perfect night. But Vince Young stole it from us.
It is kind of an epic game, though.
It is an epic game. Look,
there's so many moments that
I don't look at that game as a total disaster because it was as a piece of entertainment. As a moment in sports, as an event, from beginning to end, it was fantastic, except for the outcome.
Yeah, it really was. It, even like the, you know, the decision where Pete Carroll has Reggie Bush go for it. Like what was it? So Bush goes for it, even though Lendale White was going, right?
Even though Lendale White was available, yeah. And instead they run it with Reggie Bush, and they're like, why didn't you run Lendale White?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess once you start being able to recite actual players from those games and moments from those games, you know it's really one of those
games. For me, I went all the way. When you say it's worse when you're there, so I got all excited because Stanford was playing the Fiesta Bowl, and it was Andrew Luck was our quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Went all the way to Phoenix, got tickets, spent a bunch of money hanging out, tailgating, all that. And our kicker missed like 3 field goals and we lost.
Oh, that's rough.
And then I got stuck in that parking lot forever, leaving. Like you just want to leave a game like that. Like, oh, we lost because of our kicker. And then you're stuck in the parking lot for 2 hours afterwards.
You know what I'd like to have back? Spending all that time going to Rams games when Fisher was the head coach. That was a terrible year. That was just the Rams' first year back.
Yep.
I mean, I remember a rainy game against Miami where we blew a lead, and it was just devastating and embarrassing, and we were wet. We were soaking wet. It was awful. Mm. It was awful. I'd like to have that whole season back. I think I would do things differently. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. What's the game you would like to have back? Also, the fast food item that I will never eat. It's being advertised a lot. I will never eat it. We got that coming up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For you. Did you notice how cleverly we opened this hour of Mason and Ireland? There was not a single mention of the Clippers.
You're having a hard time.
Danced around it like crazy. So I'm watching the games last night. I don't even know what they all seem to run the same commercials. And right now there's a Wendy's commercial. Is Wendy's a sponsor? I don't know.
Probably not.
So they're selling this summer strawberry salad.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And here's the thing: I do not want fruit in my dinner.
Oh, I do.
I do not want fruit in my dinner. Fruit is for dessert. Fruit is not for dinner. I don't want...
You are missing out, Mace. Fruit is good in a salad.
I want strawberries in my salad.
I don't want it from a fast food place. I don't want it from a fast food place, but I do want fruit in my salad.
You do?
Yeah, it's really good.
Lindsay,
I
like
to put raisins
in
there, pears, apples.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm not a fan of it at all. I think it's
gross. Yeah, there's fruit for dessert, and then there's food for dinner.
I love fruit. That's like my favorite thing in the world, but I do not like it in my salad.
You're missing out.
No, yeah. I've tried it. It's gross.
Oh, you guys are. There's the one with the
really
apples
good.
And,
yeah,
and the
apples.
Pecans or whatever.
No.
Ugh, yes.
Apples and pecans and cheese with salad.
Or cranberries.
Yeah, cranberries.
Ooh,
that's
no,
good.
No, yes. No, you guys are out of control. Absolutely not.
No.
It's
yes
like pineapple
fruit
on pizza does not belong.
Oh, I like that too.
It's like mandarin oranges and Chinese chicken salad.
Love that
absolutely
too.
I do love pineapple on pizza.
Me too. You're
all
naming all my favorites.
All those people think it's a sin. It's like, shut up.
You're on your
heresy
own here, mate. Sorry.
All right. So we're talking about the one that got away, the moment in your sports fandom where a game just got away from you and you'd like to have it back. Let's go to Paul in Studio City. Paul, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
I'd like to share two if possible. When I was
okay,
a kid,
sure.
As you know, when Magic Johnson lost to Larry Bird, he got the revenge series back and was able to beat Larry Bird. Well, yep, when they forced him out of the league, he had just lost to Michael Jordan, and it hurt me as a kid that he never got that revenge series to go back against Michael Jordan to maybe try to take one of those away. So when I was a kid, that was a big one. Okay. And then when I was older, I'm also a big Broncos fan, and when Andrew Luck and the Colts beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos when they were having, like, the best year ever, I mean, we were, like, the best offense
that
in the
was
league.
The year, that was the year Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdown passes, right?
Yes, I mean, we thought it was in the bag. I took that loss so hard, I literally just started drinking beer in the bathtub for like 3-4 hours after that game in the dark. And my wife was like, are you
wow
fine? I'm like, I'm fine. I just need a minute. This was our season. I got to chill. Just give me a couple hours.
Well, Paul, lucky for you, the Broncos went to the Super Bowl the next year and won, right?
Well, yeah, after we got embarrassed by Seattle during that run, and then, yes, we were able to get the job done once we had the best defense in the league because, you know, defense wins championships.
Yes, it does. All right, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it. Yeah, I was at that Super Bowl, too. I was at the Broncos-Carolina Super Bowl.
So the Mason
Von
curse,
Miller won that. Peyton Manning did not.
So the Mason curse, it doesn't extend to other teams, like when you show up as an impartial person?
Doesn't show up anywhere.
Well, we did have a couple suggestions on social media when we were talking about the Clippers
yeah
earlier. They said if you really want the Clippers to lose, maybe you should start rooting for them and do the Mason curse to like reverse. Like,
no,
like,
can't do it. Can't do it.
Because you're standing
there's
for the
no
Jazz.
There's no Mason curse.
As soon as you started rooting for the Jazz, they started losing.
There are so many instances where
I stand with the Jazz. What do they
I
do?
Stand
lose
with
game
the Jazz
five at home.
Yeah, the Jazz would like to have last night back. They'd like to have it back.
Game five at home. That's rough.
Yeah, it is rough. It is rough. Let's go to Keisha in L.A. Keisha, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
Hi. Good to be with you. Well, I grew up a diehard Laker and Raider fan my entire life. So although that 2008 finals game, Lakers against Boston, like,
yeah,
that was really hard for me. I think it was game four. I just cried myself to sleep. But I have to say the ultimate is, Momo mentioned it, the Tuck rule, which it was a fumble. Charles Woodson caused a fumble, Tom Brady to fumble. That was the most heartbreaking loss I've ever experienced in my life. I cried like a baby. Even hearing you mention it, it was just heartbreaking. It made me sad. I'm driving. I'm about to hit someone.
Yeah, well, be careful with that. Be careful. Yeah, but the Tuck rule, yeah, definitely every Raiders fan is stuck in a moment there because that was a rough. That was a
I
rough
mean, we've
call
really never been back.
But yeah, never.
that was it.
That was a peak.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
that was a peak.
It's
moment
like Lindsay with Cleveland Indians. Like they did get back to the World Series, but then they lost to the Cubs. Like you've never.
What year
still
was
haven't
the Tuck
won
rule?
2002. It's been a while.
And they went to the Super Bowl in 2000.
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Three. I think they were in the Super Bowl in 2003, weren't
like,
they?
That's like.
Yeah.
I'll look.
Yeah. In the meantime, by the way, the Tuck rule was called correctly.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. It was called correctly.
No
that was
way
the right call. Yeah, it was the right call.
That was not the right call. It was absolutely. In today's NFL,
in
that would be a fumble.
In today's NFL. But in those days, NFL, it was the right call. They've since amended the rules, but they were following the rules and they got it right. You're mad at the rules.
But they
should
have amended.
That
should have never been a rule. Like if you and I could both look at that and go, "Oh, that's a fumble." Like, I mean, that's...
But
look,
can't the only thing the officials can do is call the play, the rules, right? And they called the rule to the letter.
Now, I don't want to hear it.
Like,
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
I know.
Fine.
It's like the Saints with that, you know, the interception with the Rams. You
no,
know.
Screw them. All right, let's go to Zach on the 405. Zach, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man? Hey, Zach.
Mason Palmo, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep, got you now. What's up, man?
Hey, honor to talk to you both. Thank you. Diehard L.A. sports fan. The one that I would take back is 1993 Marty McSorley curve stick game.
Oh, I remember the curve stick game.
Yeah, that was Kings fans out there. I hear it.
We got Gretzky and all that momentum. Then rollerblades came out, and Southern California hockey was on fire. We took down the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7. We headed into the powerhouse NHL Montreal Canadiens, and we were going to take them down. Marty McSorley scored a goal to take the lead, and then they took it away, and it all went away.
Yep, it all went away. I remember I was at that game. I think I was even doing post-game for the Kings
and
at
you
that
still,
point, the curve stick
I mean,
game.
This Mason curve, I know you want to say it's
not real, but come on. I've been at as many wins as I've been at losses. Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I was there. But I was also, I was there in 2012 when they won the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
And I was there in 2014 when they won the Stanley Cup. I was in both of those.
All right, so we can't blame you.
Okay. So you can't blame me for that. Can't blame me for that. Okay. Let's sneak one more in here. Let's go to Jose in Southgate. Jose, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Hey, just want to say I enjoyed your show. It's awesome.
Thank you, man.
Hey, Steve, I'm part of the Ramley half season tickets, so looking forward to that awesome stadium.
Me too, man. Whose house?
Rams house, baby.
There you go. There you go. So what's the game you would like to have back?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's the game you would like to have back?
Okay, so I'm going to have to say Game 5 and Game 7 at the Dodgers when they got robbed.
Yep.
Or honorable vengeance. But the game, obviously being a Ram game, is that last Super Bowl where Brandon Cooks was wide open in the end zone.
Wide open! Thank you for calling that out. Yep.
And forget about that. How about the no-holding call on Cooks toward the end of that game? Right before Goff threw that interception.
Yep.
That was a holding inside the 10-yard line. And that Gurley call for a hold. And that big run, 20-yard run, that would have put the Rams in the 50-yard line or so.
Yep.
So I would have to say it's the Rams. With all the other ones, all the other teams got to win championships, the Dodgers this year. But, yeah, with the Rams, I mean, that was just heartbreaking.
This is our year, man. New quarterback, new attitude, new stadium.
Man, Steve, hey, appreciate it. Like I said, I love your guys' show. Miss Ireland, so make sure you say hi for him.
We'll do it.
And I'll see you guys in the SoFi Stadium this year.
All right. Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate that. Yeah, boy, if you would have told me before that game that the Rams defense was going to hold New England to 13 points.
Yep.
That was the year of the high-flying Rams. I would have said there's no way we lose that game. No way we lose that game. And by the way, he's completely right.
Yep.
Brandon Cooks was wide open and Goff missed him. And that was the turning point of the game as far as I'm concerned. Because that put us back in it.
Uh-huh.
That would have made the game 10-10.
Yep.
So,
the confidence that goes with it, right? Because I always wonder when a quarterback misses a receiver, at what point do they realize they missed him? Is it after the play? Do they see the tape? Does anybody tell them? Or is it like after the game? I think it's right afterwards. I think like they see it as soon as the ball doesn't leave their hand. Like as soon as that play's over, they're like, oh, he was right there.
Yep.
And then you're thinking about it the rest of the game.
Yeah. It's just hard to believe that Jared Goff, the same Jared Goff that I saw throw for a million yards against the Kansas City Chiefs on that and that night game at the Coliseum, that guy could devolve into what he was last year.
Look, confidence is a fragile thing.
Yeah, and obviously the Rams completely lost confidence in him.
Oh, well, completely. He lost confidence in himself, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yep, new year, new attitude, new stadium, new quarterback. This is our year. Our year, Momo.
I feel it.
Home of the Rams. Whose house? Rams house. Coming up next.
They missed it last year. They missed the fans last year.
Yeah, oh, absolutely did. All right, so there is a very significant book that came out on this date in 2003. And it has impacted sports in a way that is impossible to miss. Impossible to miss. It's one of the most significant sports books written in history. I got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, Keyshawn, tomorrow morning, start your day with Keyshawn.
Woo!
Then you got your Travis and Sliwa show. I heard part of that today. They were talking about Cobra Kai, which is a show that I
heard
absolutely
that
love.
I was listening to Travis and Sliwa today.
Yeah, yeah.
I was listening to them.
I don't know what Sliwa has against Cobra Kai.
It's so weird. It's a great show.
It's a great show, and Sliwa doesn't get it. And then,
that's
of course,
the
Max, and then us, and then SLK. So I want to get to this Madonna thing here in a minute. But first, Momo.
Yeah.
One of the significant sports books in history.
History.
Was released on this date in 2003. Do you venture any guess?
2003. I have zero guesses.
Okay. It is Michael Lewis, Moneyball.
Oh, yeah.
Moneyball.
You know what I love about Michael Lewis? Okay, first of all, condolences to his family. He had I think one of his kids was killed in a car accident.
Oh, God.
It was really horrible.
Oh, that's horrible.
Look, what I love about him, he created his own genre.
Yep.
Created his own genre. And it's smart, and it's intellectual, and it's awesome. I just think it's so hard to do that in this world, to just come up with something and everybody now knows a Moneyball. It's like you know, when you go to Hollywood pitch meetings and they say, it's like this meets this.
Yep.
Do you know how many books have been sold? Oh, it's like Moneyball. How many shows and movies and things? Oh, it's like Moneyball meets whatever.
Moneyball meets whatever, exactly. Yeah. I think that it was the advent of us knowing about analytics.
Oh, that makes sense.
We had no idea that this stuff was going on.
Yeah.
But Billy Beane was ahead of the game. He was really you could say Bill James was the beginning of it. But really, I think Billy Beane was the progenitor of analytics in Major League Baseball. And it sort of let the cat out of the bag. All of a sudden, we knew how the sausage was being made. And everybody began making it the same way. Do you think other teams looked at Moneyball and said, "Up, we got to do that, we're behind"?
I absolutely do. This is what everybody does. It's a copycat league. Or not copycat league. It's a copycat in life, okay? So if you have a movie and everybody goes, "Oh, what's the next whatever?" It's the next whatever. And so, like, I think that Moneyball was the thing that, one, everybody wanted to copy that as a book and as a movie, as a transition. And then it also opened a door to something that's been going on, and probably a lot of people in the field knew this was going on, but they couldn't name it.
Yes.
They couldn't name it. I just got a text from Ben Lyons. I pitched 3 projects a month under the it's like Moneyball, but for whatever. Seriously.
Ben's the best.
Yeah.
Ben's the best.
I mean, that's how genre-defining it was.
And I read one of Ben's pitches. It's fantastic.
He's really good. Ben is such a likable person.
He's so smart. He is.
Smart, likable, joy to work with.
So, here's the thing that I never understood about this.
Yep.
Why did Billy Beane spill the beans?
You know, he probably had no idea that's where Michael Lewis was going to go.
You think so? You think he didn't notice of the firing of the, you know, trading Pena and putting Hatterberg at first base and bringing in Chad Bradford and all that stuff? I think that he spilled the beans.
It's true.
To Michael Lewis. And I think everybody all of a sudden decided, you know what? Now we know Billy's formula.
Yeah.
Now we know how he's competitive despite the fact that
he has
no money.
People would have figured it out. Come on, he wasn't the only guy doing this. He just did it better. He, but Paul, I would say all those guys in Cleveland were doing it too. Mark Shapiro, what's his name? Shapiro.
Mark Shapiro. Yeah,
yeah. Shapiro, and then Paul D. Podesta. All those. He wasn't the only guy doing it. He was just doing it really well. And what's great about the Michael Lewis books, even the Blind Side is the same thing.
Oh, Blind Side is a great book.
So they come up with a concept. So the Moneyball is a concept, and the Blind Side is all about the left tackle and how important the left tackle is.
Yep.
But it's a human story too. I mean, the reason those are adapted as movies is because he does an incredible job of capturing these sports characters.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
There's a lot of heart and empathy and like.
And by the way, Michael Lewis, if you want to understand why we had a financial crisis meltdown in 2008, The Big Short is
That's
a fantastic book. I mean, he really does make things digestible and understandable. So, Moneyball came out on this day
in
2003.
Like great science. Oh, you know, another guy who's like this is Malcolm Gladwell. Really smart guy. He came up with the tipping point. Right?
Yes.
You know the tipping point? I read that. I was in college and I read it and I just blew my mind.
10,000 hours.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you got to put in 10,000 hours before you're really good at something. That does not speak
named
well for
it.
My golf game.
All of these, you know what he's great at? He goes and talks to these social scientists and he does all this scientific data research that's kind of mostly boring to people, but
right.
He tells a great narrative around it and then he puts a name on it and it's a concept that people can wrap their minds around. It's like, remember when I told you about confirmation bias? And you guys
confirmation bias. Yeah, you're smart.
No. You just steal from me. It's okay. You don't have to like cite Stanford Psych 101. I mean, you could just, it's just confirmation bias. Now it's a word that you use and you know.
Okay, I want to get to one last thing here
right.
before we get to Game of Games. We've been following the progress of Madonna. And I cannot figure out. Look, and I've
How
got,
are you choosing Lucky Star as one of my Madonna
it's
songs?
It's what I have here, Mozart. Yeah.
So many better songs than Lucky Star.
I do not begrudge anybody who
she
wants to
one,
do
okay.
work on their face and have plastic surgery and all that stuff. But there is a point, I think, personally, where it goes too far. And I think she's officially gone too far. What do you think?
Nope.
No?
No. I've thought about this a lot because we've been talking about it for a couple days now.
Wait, Maze, what are you basing this off of? Like, what made you think of Madonna? And
oh, these weird pictures on her Instagram page.
She photoshops her face onto other people's
bodies. She photoshops like crazy. She's got her face pulled so damn tight. I why not just be your age?
Okay.
Like, can't you just be your age? Like,
she will. She'll go this way next. Listen, Madonna, Louise Ciccone, okay? That's her real
name.
Yes. Jeez Louise. Okay.
From Detroit.
From Detroit. I'm never going to say anything bad about her, okay, except she made me stay up really late on a work night one night because I went to her concert.
Yeah.
What she is incredible about and the reason why she has been a superstar for her entire life and career is that she sees what's coming next. She constantly reinvents herself. She tries different things. She's edgy. She pushes the boundaries. And I think in this situation, she's going to course correct real fast.
Yeah,
and she's going to do exactly what you're saying. Every once in a while, we can allow her a misstep. Okay, she's been going. She's holding on to 16 as long as she can, and changes come around real soon, make us old women, and that is what's happened here. And I understand.
Yeah, I mean, she's posing topless in selfie mirrors.
Yeah,
she's
having a hard time with being. What is she? 60 now?
61.
Yeah, she's having a hard time being 61.
She's 62.
62.
She looks great, right? Yeah. She looks great.
Wait a minute. She doesn't look great.
Wait, whoa.
That's not what she looks like. That's not what she looks like.
Her body looks great.
She also works incredibly hard.
Her face is weird.
Wait, did you see the pictures like the paparazzi took of her recent visit to she was in Rome
at the Van Gogh show.
Yeah, she doesn't look like that. Now again, I'm not hating on Madonna. I love Madonna. I think she's amazing, but I feel like she is portraying a lie here with all of this photoshopping and editing to the point where nobody believes it. It's not realistic, and I think she needs to, like Ramona said, embrace who she is and what she really looks like.
She really, I promise you, Louise is going to do this. Like, she's been trying to go the other way. She was probably trying something different to try to, like, look younger. And I think in her mind, she's trying to. But she will. She just lost a little of her mojo here, but this is what she's amazing at. Whenever she changes before you want her to change. And in this case, she's a little too late on this one. This is the first time this has happened to her. Okay, so let's just give her a minute and to reinvent herself again.
Okay, so I got sued by Madonna.
What?
I got sued by Madonna.
What?
You actually got sued by her, or is this one of your radio stunts that nothing actually happened?
Well, it was a radio stunt, but it was legal. It was a legal thing. So I got a hold of Madonna's Like a Prayer the Friday before it was going to be released. It was going to be released on a Tuesday. And I got a copy of it from a guy I knew in Detroit. I'll just say he was a music guy. And nobody had heard this thing. Nobody knew what the record was. We knew there was a record coming. We didn't know what it was. So Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I turned off our fax machine. This was the days of fax machines. And I put that record on, and I played it once an hour, every hour for the entire weekend.
Which song was it again?
It was Like a Prayer. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Like a Prayer.
It's a really good song.
A great song. And then on Monday morning, I turned my fax machine back on, the station fax machine, and we got a cease and desist from Madonna's people because we were playing their record. So, of course, for me,
why aren't you allowed
to play
it?
That's like getting sued. Got reported on MTV News. Wow. It was all really, really cool.
So
to be sued
had
by Madonna.
Not been released yet, or so? Why are they suing
hadn't
you?
Been released?
Oh,
I got an advanced copy, and nobody else had it. Nobody had heard it. The only place it was being heard was Toledo, Ohio, on 93 QWRQN.
I think this is net positive for both of you. Good publicity.
Wait, did they say Steve Mason, DJ?
Oh, yes.
Like, so you were on MTV
Steve
News.
Mason, Steve Mason, program director.
Okay, so you were on the news.
Correct. I was on the news.
Wow.
It was
MTV News.
Kurt Loder talked about me.
I think it's good. Yeah, see, it was good for you, good for her. I think it was good.
Yeah, I think it worked out really well.
I got to play you one of my most delightful moments on social media in a little while. Okay? I was sitting at home watching this, and this tweet comes across from Holly Rowe yesterday.
Okay.
I just have to share something really crazy that has just happened to me, because you cannot make this up. It's my birthday today, and I was so excited. I'm like, oh yay, I'm turning 54, and I still feel pretty young and happy and active, and I think I'm still sort of cute for like a 54-year-old lady. And then someone pointed out to me that I'm actually turning 55 today. I swear to God, I had no idea, and my mind's blown. And I've aged 2 years in 10 seconds. So,
wow.
There you have it. Just maybe double check how old you are, because I think
that's
like everything
awesome.
Else this whole COVID year, I just wanted to forget it.
Yep,
happy
that's
birthday.
Awesome. I've done that.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
How can this happen?
I think when you get into your 50s, they all sort of blend together.
Oh.
Like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I am 56 right now. I believe that to be true. My mom had two 73-year-old births. She turned 73 twice.
But, like, you actually believe it? Because I mess up. Like, you asked me the other day how long you've been married. I'm like, hold on, let me do the math for a second.
Right.
That takes a second sometimes. Like, but I don't actually believe it. If I really think about it, I know how old I am.
See, here's how I know how old I am. I'm the same age as the Super Bowl.
That's not an easy way to know how old you are.
No, it's not. But, like, I know, for example, the next Super Bowl, the one the Rams will win.
Got it.
Rams over Chiefs, will be Super Bowl 56. Same age as me. I was born the same year as the Super Bowl. That's how I remember. But you're right. There's a lot of Roman numerals involved. All right. We got Game of Games coming up next for you. It is Lindsay's game today. Game of Games time, by the way, from Boss Amanda. Fruit and vegetables should not be mixed. Fruit does not belong in a salad. That is disgusting.
She's right. Thank you, Boss Amanda.
Just because she's the boss doesn't mean she's right.
She's the boss on this one.
Love you, Amanda.
She's the boss of me. All right, so it's Lindsay's game today. By the way, in the month of June, Ireland has won 5 times. Lindsay has 3. Jorge has 3. I have 2. So once again, I'm bringing up the rear. Momo has yet to scratch during this week of fill-in. It is Lindsay's game today. Lindsay, what do you got going on?
All right. So I noticed when Ramona plays Game of Games with us, I feel like she often has an advantage if I do like the Lakers or any of the sports stuff, because she's a reporter and I feel like she knows all these things. So I tried to do something that's out.
And yet don't win.
Yeah, I know. Out of everybody's wheelhouse, as far as I'm aware, none of you guys are big history buffs, right?
I'm okay. Yes. I'm okay.
Okay. Well, these are fun history facts that are too weird to be true. or are they?
Oh, no, it's one of these.
Mm. Yep, so I'm going to give you a fact, and then you guys will have to tell me if you think it's true or if I made it up. All right?
Got it.
I got 10 and a tiebreaker, so we'll see how it goes here. Okay. All right, number one. President Zachary Taylor died from a cherry overdose. He passed away after eating too many cherries and drinking milk at a 4th of July party in 1850. Mason, is that true?
I know for a fact that's true.
Okay, Jorge?
False.
All right, Ramona?
I think that is false. I think he died from something else. He was outside and he got a cold or something.
You guys are both incorrect, and Mason is right.
Cherries?
Wait, what?
Yep. The acid in cherries, along with the milk, believed to have caused intestinal disruption.
Yeah.
That's how he died.
You guys got to stick with me. I mean, I knew that to be a fact.
I thought he got a cold. What was the one? That was Benjamin Harrison.
Benjamin Harrison.
That's it. Oh, my bad.
During the inauguration.
Yeah, you're right. You got a cold. Okay.
Okay. Number two. In ancient Greece, they believed redheads became vampires after death. This was partly because redheaded people are very pale-skinned and sensitive to sunlight. Jorge, is that true or false?
I'll say true.
All right. Ramona, true or false?
I'm going to say false.
All right. Mason, true or false?
I'm going to say true.
Mace, you are correct along with Jorge. So yeah. Mason's got two. Jorge's got one.
That's not
and
history. That's just like random.
It's history. That's ancient Greece.
Yeah, it took us in the past.
It's ancient Greece.
They're fun history facts that are too weird to be true, or
don't
they?
Attack the game to distract from your performance.
Number three.
Just because it's not an NBA game.
Yeah. Number three. Albert Einstein helped design the Volkswagen Beetle. Between Einstein and Ferdinand Porsche, the iconic bug-like car was designed as part of Albert Einstein's revived German initiative to create an affordable and practical car that everyone could own. Mace, is that true or false?
I'm going to go false on that.
Okay, Jorge, true or false?
That is so true.
Ramona, true or false?
I will also say false.
Jorge, you are the only one who got it wrong.
Oh! That was like an American Idol judgment.
Yeah,
right
it's
there.
False.
That was great.
Man. It was actually Adolf Hitler who helped design the Volkswagen.
Right. I was going to say, that is exactly what I knew because that company was involved in nasty stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. Number four. Tablecloths were originally designed to be used as one big communal napkin. When they were first invented, guests were meant to wipe off their hands and faces on a tablecloth after a messy dinner party. Ramona, is that true or false?
That sounds true to me.
All right. Mace, true or false?
That sounds true to me.
Jorge, true or false?
I'm with the crowd. It's true.
All right. You guys all got that one right. Ding! Mason, three. Jorge, three. And Ramona has one.
Just
you're right. Yeah.
I got two. I got two.
You're right. I scored the last one wrong. Okay, so we're 4-2-2.
He's trying to conspire to get me not to go ahead here. You shouldn't go the other way from me, because I'm usually
number
wrong.
Five, the South African Railway once employed a baboon. In his right years of service, he never made a single mistake. Mace, is that true or false?
That's false.
All right, Jorge, true or false?
I'll say false.
Ramona, true or false?
I'm going to say true, because I want the point.
Well, you're correct.
Oh. Yeah. This is how you make a comeback.
Yeah. All right.
Well, so
take some chances.
One.
Mason, four. Jorge, two. Ramona, three.
How many are left? Because I say stop the game. Stop the game.
I've got four left. So
okay.
Well, we can cut it short.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I want you to do two more.
Just wait till I win.
All right, next one. Using forks used to be seen as sacrilegious. The widely used eating utensils were once seen as blasphemous and an offense to God because they were artificial hands.
Mm.
Jorge, is it true or false?
I'll say false.
All right. Ramona, true or false?
True.
Mace, true or false?
True.
You are correct.
Dang.
It is true.
I need to get, I know I got it, but I need to get, I want Mace to not say the same thing I say.
Mason's got five, Ramona's got four, Jorge's out of it, so.
Okay. Let's go, Mace.
Ramona, if you get this one right, then we'll go to the tiebreaker, okay?
And I have to go first.
Yeah, you gotta
to
go first.
Fair.
Yeah, okay. In 1998, 1,200 bones from some 10 human bodies were found in the basement of George Washington's old house. It was later revealed that the bodies were used in the study of human anatomy. Is that true or false, Mace?
I'm going to say that's false.
Okay.
Oh, man,
Ramona?
I have to say true, but I think Mace is right.
Wait, wouldn't Ramona be the one who goes first because she's behind?
No, I go first so she can go the other way.
No, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I say false.
I'll say true. He was a weirdo, I guess.
Ramona, you are Incorrect. Mason's right. It's false. It was actually Benjamin Franklin who had the bodies in his house.
God.
So Mason wins that one. Good job, Mace.
Let's give it up for me.
Happy for you. Way to go.
Momo, you got close.
I hear you, Jorge. I'm going to call everything to a stop right now because coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. We are back tomorrow at 12:55
sharp. Ooh, is it
sharp.
Friday?
Friday. F it Friday.
Yeah.
With Momo here in for John.
It's going to be weird.
See you tomorrow. Stick with us all afternoon. 710 ESPN.